Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, last evening in Phoenix, where the Republican governor was afraid to go, President Trump, Vice President Pence, Secretary Ben Carson, and others were not afraid to go, and they were there, massively attended by supporters of the president, as normal. The opponents and many lawless troublemakers were also there, and they did what they intended to do, and that was create trouble. But the takeaway for all of that, that the media wishes us to believe was all downside, the president really clearly continues to have an unwavering and faithful base of support who seem to understand the nature of the ongoing fight for the heart and soul of America. And we're going to discuss just a few reactions here to the event last evening in just a few moments, and then we're going to shift to look at the rest of the world, as we often do when we have our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is also host of Prophecy Today, as we consider the general theme for the program today of being this: the nations on edge, the world in transition. And we're going to look at why the Israeli Defense Force is on high alert and the connection in a connection to, get this, North Korea. We're also going to look at the meetings occurring now between Iran and Turkey. Historic, really, ladies and gentlemen, historic discussions going on now, and how we're witnessing the realignment of major powers in the Middle East. And I would also fit into that, we can't ignore it. It is the fantastic fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Now, we're also going to conclude with how a peace treaty in the Middle East, of which the president has been so bent on achieving, may in fact be more likely because of certain things that are happening. We're going to share those and other things today on Stand in the Gap Today. And with that, I welcome you. I'm Sam Rohr. Be joined today by Isaac Crockett and Dave Kistler, and of course, our special and recurring guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Well, men, I'd like to go to you for each of you for a bit of a commentary on what happened last night, because the headlines still are being occupied by sometimes, some cases, fallout, but other cases, initiatives and things that occurred at that gathering in Phoenix. Dave, let me go to you first. The president was there. You and I talked about it yesterday in the program, and I think by and large it turned out pretty much as you and I talked about. Good turnout. Yeah, lawless protesters to be sure. But there was a full contingent of the president's cabinet. The governor refused to come, and I think that's too bad on his part. Some were even saying that the president shouldn't go. And you and I talked about it and said, well, no, should the president go in light of all the things? And we agreed that, yeah, he was doing the right thing. But, Dave, let me go to you. You watched part of it after you saw it and after our discussion. Did the president do the right thing by going? And what was your walk away by what you observed at that gathering last night in Phoenix?
Well, Sam, I believe he definitely did the right thing by going. And as you stated, it was a veritable who's who on the stage there with the president. Ben Carson was there to the president's right, off his right shoulder as he got ready to speak, was Franklin Graham. And what was stunning was the fact that it had the air almost of a revival meeting. Alveda King was there, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. She sang How Great Thou Art, even had those in attendance sing with her. It was absolutely a phenomenal, phenomenal thing to watch. And I want to say this, Sam, while I think the president was courageous in going, I think he did the right thing in going. I think he exhibited leadership in going. What I think we saw last evening as far as what took place on the platform is very much illustrative of what's going on in his life from a spiritual perspective. The media is never going to talk about this. They're never going to show this and promote it in a positive light. But there's something phenomenally good going on spiritually in the president's life, despite all the negativity that tends to surround the media's discussion of him. I thought it was great.
Well, Dave, I tell you, I agree with you. I don't think the media, I haven't heard anything about being even remarkably or remotely connected to a revival. Certainly, How Great Thou Art. Nothing was mentioned on the regular media about that. So you are correct. Important, ladies and gentlemen, to observe what is taking place. It really, there's something happening. Things don't change always overnight, of course. Isaac, let me go to you. There was some discussion earlier that the president would take the advantage last night to pardon Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Now, he did not choose to do that. But he does reference the fact that he, in fact, may. Now, many of the detractors of the president say he has no sense of timing. He just blurts out his words. He doesn't care. He's like a bull in the china shop. But yet he chose not to do that last night, but to keep that potential alive. He also didn't mention John McCain or Jeff Flake by name, and he somewhat made a joke out of it because he said, I promised I wouldn't mention these men's names, but everybody knew who he was talking about, so it was a little bit of a joke. But in your sense, I mean, does the president, I mean, is that even remotely close to say the president has no sense of timing or any of that? I mean, as evidenced by his decision not to pardon him last night?
You're right. I think it's the fake news just trying to come up with their own agenda, which is opposite of reality. And President Trump is much smarter than he gets credit for. And he used the Sheriff Joe topic, which, by the way, I don't think is completely settled. He's not only not been sentenced, but there's a lot of things going on, like the fact that he wasn't tried by a jury. So there's things going on that may lead to an appeal. And so he used that to kind of dangle it in front of the media to get their attention, to get the whole world to watch this rally. And then he went ahead with a rally that, as Dave described it, was almost like a revival meeting. And instead, he kind of the switch and bait routine. It was very much patriotic, but very biblical as far as the prayers go. Alveda King, she prayed. I thought maybe she had listened to the program on Monday because she prayed in repentance of what's going on in our nation, much like you all had recommended we do with the sober attitude towards what's happening in the weather and everything else. And Ben Carson, Mike Pence, of course, Franklin Graham, all of them referencing scripture and prayer and faith, and then Trump referencing faith in the Constitution. He got that in front of the whole public, and by doing, he did it by using Joe, Sheriff Joe, as kind of the bait for it all. And I think he's extremely smart and calculated in every one of these timing issues.
Hey, Jimmy, let me bring you in right now here, just as we about ready to close out this segment. There are folks like Mitch McConnell himself, who, I mean, it's on the news right now. New York Times is reporting, and others that are saying that Mitch McConnell is saying privately that he just doesn't think the president has what it's going to take to finish his office, and is actually floating the idea that he thinks he's about at the point of quitting. And there are others that are talking about, you know, not mental capacity to stay in office. But at the end of the day, Jimmy, what's going to be the determination of whether or not this president stays in office?
Well, I don't believe he's a quitter, so excuse me. I don't think he's going to be one who's going to write out his resignation and hand it to anybody. He has too much of a desire to be a winner. He wants to be a winner, and that's the reason I believe he's always defending himself. Sometimes he goes beyond where he needs to go. He just needs to let some things lie, but that's exactly what he does. And those in power are ordained of God. God puts them in power, Romans chapter 13, and if God wants him in there to accomplish his will, using Donald Trump as a governmental leader, he'll say, if not, God will take it out.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that you heard it right there. The president's going to stay in office because he's not a quitter, but ultimately it's because it'll be up to God. He's there as long as God wants him to be there, like anyone in office. Now, stay with us right after the break. Come back with, we're going to go and we're going to talk about the Israeli Defense Force, why they are on high alert, and why they have any concern at all about North Korea. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses, and the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't it seem as if the entire world is on edge? I mean, in this country, we have divides, and people feel like they're on the edge of falling into the divide. The world is on edge, though. The U.S. And across the world, an increasing in amount of lawlessness. We're seeing it. Europe, many are saying right now, Europe have renewed fears of total collapse due to Islamic immigration and terrorism. We're seeing that. It's kind of making its way back up again. The North Korea and the United States right now are continuing and saber-rattling, go on and on. And the Middle East is one of those places where everyone is in a state almost, I would say, of constant alert. But now there's something happening there with the Israeli Defense Force, IDF, who is on high alert. And not surprisingly, a nation who is referenced in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as coming against Israel in battle at one point is involved in that. And I want to help us to better understand this. So we're going to invite in right now, specifically, officially, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, our regular recurring host here every other week on this program. And he's also host of Prophecy Today. Jimmy, thanks for being with us here officially now today on the program.
My joy, Sam. Always great to be with you guys.
Jimmy, you are our expert here in the Middle East. I want to go to you right off on this issue because I haven't seen it really reported in too many places. But the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces in Israel, they're always on the alert because Israel's always under the gun from somebody. But it's now being reported that the IDF is on high alert due to some saber rattling between the United States and North Korea. Now, that is interesting, and I want you to kind of bring it in there. Why is the IDF at all concerned about what's taking place between North Korea and the United States right now?
Great question, Sam. And when people think about it geographically, you almost understand that North Korea is on the other side of the world from Jerusalem and all the state of Israel, so why should there be a concern? Yet the North Koreans have an unbelievable connection in the Middle East, especially with Iran. Now, you might remember a couple of years ago, the Israeli Defense Force went into Syria with their military aircraft for the purpose of taking out a factory that was producing chemical weapons of mass destruction. The factory and all the workers and technicians there were from North Korea. That is key. A couple of years before that, North Koreans were worked to help put together a nuclear facility there in Syria. The Israeli Defense Force had to go in there. But the real concern relates to Iran and the connection between North Korea and Iran. Both of these countries have developed their nuclear program in concert. In other words, they trade technology, they trade technicians. Both travel to observe the test in the other country. When Iran has a nuclear test or a missile test, you have North Korean represented there, vice versa in North Korea when the Iranians go over to watch what they're doing. Both of these nations have grandiose plans for power, and then both, by the way, are focused on the United States. Remember, the United States is the big Satan. Israel would be the little Satan. But who is the leader of North Korea threatening to wipe out, to reduced to a pile of ashes, that would have to be the United States. So both of these are against the United States. Now, Israel is watching this so closely because they want to see whether the United States caves into North Korea. They believe if the United States caves to North Korea, that would give then Iran a signal, hey, don't fear the United States. Don't worry about them. They're not going to stand up and do anything to shut us down. Then the Iranians would immediately move against the state of Israel. That's part of a end-time scenario, but it's being played out politically right now in that region of the world.
Dr. Jimmy, obviously the IDF is not only concerned about this situation with North Korea, but they're also greatly concerned about other changes that are taking place in the Middle East. With the greatly reduced presence of ISIS in Syria and Iraq, and some would even maybe say the expulsion of ISIS from Syria and Iraq, there's a void that's been created. So who is now filling that void, and what's going to happen there?
Dave, on top of that is the leader of the Mossad, which is the intelligence gathering organization for the Israeli government. Prime Minister Netanyahu is on top of this situation as well. They spoke recently, both in Israel at different conferences, not knowing the other was going to be addressing it. And they both talked about the fact that Islamic State is being taken out. For example, they're out of Mosul. And the plan is to take them out of Al-Afar as well, which is the last stronghold there in northern Iraq for Islamic State. So they're watching that happen. But then when you look over at Syria, in Raqqa, there's a big battle going on to get rid of Islamic State. They're fighting for their life there in northern Syria. Now, Iran is a major player in Syria. We all know that. We've talked about it before. They are co-partnering with Russia to help prop up Bashar Assad and his government against the elements that would like to take him down. Think about this, though. Over in Lebanon, Iran has its Hezbollah in the southern portion of the state of Lebanon. Hezbollah is the surrogate terrorist organization, sponsored and funded and armed with everything out of Iran itself. So this sets up a pathway for Iran, which is ultimately their goal. They want to have a pathway from Iran all the way to the Mediterranean. Now think about it geographically just for a moment. You have Iran, who's the player we're focusing on. We understand they're quickly moving into every power vacuum that is being left with the fallout of Islamic State. So that would give them at least the northern part of modern-day Iraq, but that would also give them the southern part because the Shiites, which are Iranian, of course, are controlling the 60% of the entire population of Iraq. So they would have Iraq. If they get Raqqa, they would take down Raqqa. They would have no Islamic State. Iran fills in that vacuum. That gives them Lebanon. You have the path then from Iran to Iraq to Syria to Lebanon to the Mediterranean. Then all they have to do is make a southern turn to go into Jerusalem, which is, of course, their plan to set up a worldwide caliphate in the city of Jerusalem.
What you're describing there, Dr. Jimmy, is sounds so biblical in that the Bible says, you know, you put off something and you put on something. If a demon is cast out and the person doesn't accept Christ, the demon will come back to the clean heart with seven times the demons. And so we have to be extremely cautious whenever getting rid of an evil group of people. What's going to happen? Do you have any suggestions or any ideas what the U.S. could do either now or in the future as we deal with these groups like ISIS and even North Korea, how we can be planning for this? And I mean, it just takes so much finances and things as well to do a war and to rebuild. But any suggestions for what the U.S. could be looking at doing?
Well, Isaac, this would all be speculation on my part since I don't have an absolute passage of scripture that deals with what, except for the ultimate end of what's going to take place, which we've already talked about. But I do believe the United States must be strong against North Korea. They allow North Korea to do what they want to do and continue to developing their nuclear weapon of mass destruction and continue to threaten the United States. Iran is going to recognize this immediately with the power that they're being able to put together with the removal of Islamic State. We've got to continue to fight Islamic State, but with that vacuum that's left, that power vacuum, Iran going into it, the United States has to watch that very closely. They have to stay very strong against Iran. I'm not sure if they're ready to stand up against Iran. I think our president is ready. I'm not even sure some of his security staff would like to go into Iran and try to resolve any relationship based upon that nuclear deal. In fact, just the other day, the new president, the reelected president of Iran, Rouhani, made this statement, if the United States keeps putting sanctions on us, we're going to pull out of that nuclear deal. We can do it within hours, and within weeks, we can have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. So it's a bailiwick of unbelievable problems out there. It has to be watched. The United States must stay strong. I believe the United States stands strong militarily and in their foreign relations activities with these nations. If they'll stay strong, stand for what is right, that'll help them. But otherwise, it's going to continue like the prophecy calls for in the Word of God.
And Jimmy, I'm going to follow up with you on this part of it. The connection that you've made here between North Korea and Iran, we've talked about that before, often been referred to, or some, as the axis of evil, that North Korean-Iranian alliance. And your comment there that the reason Israel's so concerned is because if we back down on North Korea, then Iran sees that as a signal and their effort against Israel is strengthened. I think that's a very, very significant point. But in another few seconds here, build out just a little bit, if you can, about this axis of evil, of connecting North Korea and Iran. This connection is very important to make.
It certainly is, Sam, and you only mentioned two-thirds of the axis. Remember, George W. Bush called the axis of evil North Korea, Iran, and Syria. Now, who are the players in Syria right now? We know Iran is a major player. They're there partnering with Russia, and they're right at Israel's northern border, within 5 miles of the border. And just within the last 48 hours, we have seen that there have been aircraft, cargo aircraft, bringing chemical weapons into Syria out of North Korea. And so they're all in Syria. I think that's the key component, because Syria makes the first move to try to wipe out the Jewish state of Israel.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to want to continue with us after this break, because we're going to go just a little bit north of Iran, and we're going to talk about what's happening between Iran and Turkey. Literally, truly historic meetings right now that, again, just happen, coincidentally, right? Biblically, to fall right into alignment with the same coalition, this axis of evil. We're going to talk about that when we come right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be just joining us on this program, we welcome you. We know that those who listen live catch this at about this break is about 12:30 in the day, so it's lunchtime for many, and so we know you're on the move. We know that because we are hearing from you. But we're glad that you're with us, and we want to remind you that if you are perhaps catching us for the first time, or you weren't able to catch the first part of the program, that you can always pick up the program in its entirety, plus the entire archives of the Stand in the Gap Today program, as well as our weekend program called Stand in the Gap Weekend, or our Minute program, which is basically a short challenge, a Stand in the Gap Minute. You can find that all on our website at standinthegapradio.com. Or, if you have not done so, I would encourage you, if at all possible, pull out your iPhone right now, or your Android phone, if you use it, and put in the phrase Stand in the Gap. Go to your app store, put in the phrase Stand in the Gap, or American Pastors Network, either one, and download for free the app. That puts it right at your fingertips. You can listen to the program. You can communicate to us when you wish to do so. And you can also partner with us, and I'd encourage you to partner with us both in prayer and in your personal finances. This program and all that is happening is a ministry of the American Pastors Network. We don't have deep pockets or underfunding. We depend on you, our listener. I encourage you very strongly, if God has, if you find yourself coming back to this program for help and find it helpful, stand with us. Make it possible that others can hear as well. All right, now with that being the case, let me go right back into the theme. Here we're talking about the world in change. And this segment we're going to talk about Turkey in and NATO out. In the program over the last 2 years, we've said that when Turkey was solidly inside NATO, that the biblical prophecy would indicate that they were going to have to be moving from the west to the east. Didn't say exactly when, but we said it was going to have to do so because God's word says it's going to. Well, that transition is happening right now. Power man, military dictator from Turkey, Erdogan, is meeting with the leader of Iran. It's amazing what's happened. I'm going to go right to you now immediately, Jimmy DeYoung, and ask you to comment on this. Here's this little bit of an article I'm just reading. It said the chief of staff of the Iranian military, Mohammad Bagheri, made an unprecedented visit to Turkey this week, meeting with Turkey's military chief of staff, marking the first such visit of the highest Iranian military officer since the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. A Turkish pro-government newspaper called it a milestone, noting that no such meeting between the two would have ever been possible if the countries weren't making alliances with each other regarding what we talked about last segment, Syria and Iraq. Now, my question to you, Jimmy, is this. We've talked much about the realigning of Turkey to Russia and Iran, but isn't this meeting even extraordinarily more significant? I mean, just kind of fill it in, but this is a big deal, I think.
I think it's an absolute big deal, Sam. I agree with you. It's highly significant that the meeting took place, but not only that, it took place in Turkey. And with these military leaders, joining them in Turkey was Tayyip Erdogan, who has, of course, his own agenda for what he wants to do in the Middle East. But there are a number of reasons that this is so significant. Again, you already mentioned it. Let me just reemphasize, because we're trying to focus on this part of the world and these nations in question today. Syria is the lowest common denominator in all that is going on. Both need to prop up the Assad regime there in Syria. Both have multiple military forces in Syria, some under a false reason for having them in there. That would be Turkey, because instead of going against Islamic State, who they have partnered with in the past, they're going against the Kurds there. And the Kurds are a major force that I think we need to talk about in just a moment. Both have alliances, by the way, Iran and Turkey, with Russia. Been a couple of bumps in the road between the Turks and the Russians. I think that's all cleared up. And because, again, of Syria. However, they need to watch each other. You think about these two countries. You were reading something during the break from Daniel Pipes, who's a great writer on Middle Eastern activities. And he talked about both of the nations probably have similar populations, 90 million or more. Economically, they may not be on the same par, but pretty close together. Their ambitions, both of them have uncontrollable ambitions to control the world. And so when they meet together, this makes it very significant. And, of course, Tayyip Erdogan coming into the meeting, he doesn't have the Ayatollah to compete with. He's the major player in that meeting over both of these military leaders, and that's helping them understand how significant it is to Turkey. Turkey is moving towards an Islamic State, which is exactly what Iran is. They are a state. Islamic State means they're controlled by Sharia, by the law of the Quran. That's how they live and operate, both mentally, spiritually, and, of course, politically in their nation. Both want the city of Jerusalem. We've talked about in the past on this particular program how Tayyip Erdogan has put a lot of money, put a lot of personnel, his agents, in Jerusalem around the Temple Mount trying to control that. We do believe there may have been a connection between the gunfight that took place recently, we reported about on your broadcast there on the Temple Mount, and Turkey. We know that Iran and Hezbollah had a part in that as well, so they're trying to control the city of Jerusalem. They want that ultimate control, so they have to talk, and they have to sit across the table and look at each other and bring some of these things out. But I got to say, the bottom line is they're concerned about the Kurds. I think that's bringing them together.
Dr. Jimmy, this is frightening, interesting perspective here that you have with this common denominator in Syria. And you've brought up about the Kurds and the importance they've been in all of the battling against ISIS. I think it's been a couple of months ago that was mentioned on this program, and it was kind of brought up, the idea that coming up in the future, there could be a portion of old Iraq and Turkey carved up, as it were, for Kurdistan. After following this expulsion of the Islamic State, there's many who speculate that President Trump and his administration would be pushing this and want to recognize a Kurdish state Obviously, some of the players you just mentioned would be opposed, Iran and Turkey especially. Would you give us maybe your opinion on this? Is it likely that there could become a Kurdish state? And if so, who would be in favor of that happening?
Well, I believe it's very likely that the Kurdistan state is going to be in place. That's the name of the state they have chosen. I think the best chance, Isaac, is going to be in North Iraq, because they control about 20% of the entire population of Iraq, but they control the upper third of modern-day Iraq, and that's the oil-rich area. So this gives them a leg up in being able to bring a state together. But we've also got to remember that the Kurds are not only in Iraq, not only in Turkey, where Tayyip Erdogan is totally opposed to their relationship, but the Kurds are in Syria and also in Iran. They have control or some portion of real estate in all four states there. Very likely that they will be a state. Saddam Hussein, remember? Let's go back in history a moment. We always learn from history when we pay attention to it. Saddam Hussein did everything he could to destroy the Kurds. He gassed 150,000 Kurds in his time of rule over Iraq. And by the way, the BBC documented that, so I'm not just making up a number there. He tried to wipe out the Kurdish people there in the north. He knew how powerful they were. The Kurds are the most fierce fighters in the Middle East. The Kurds are the U.S. boots on the ground right now in all of this region and doing what needs to be done. We don't want to put boots on the ground, but we've brought in the Kurds to do that. The United States would be very supportive of a Kurdistanish state. In fact, they've already shown their support. They're sending munitions in. They're sending money in to assist them. They're helping them, standing them up potentially to become that state. Israel would be thrilled. They have a relationship with the Kurds. They are key in all that's going to happen there with the Kurdistanish state. Now, opposed, of course, we've already mentioned the players, Turkey, Iran, Syria, and Russia. Russia is much concerned because these fierce fighters, these Kurds, the Peshmerga, they are unbelievable in taking over. In fact, when you look at Mosul and the downfall of Islamic State just recently there, a major players. You had the Iraqi military, you had the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, but you had the Kurds, and they were the players that helped wipe out the area of Mosul. They're over there in Tal Afar right now doing the exact same thing. So these players that we've mentioned who would be opposed, Turkey, Iran, Syria, and Russia, as that relates to what could happen in the future.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you this very quickly before we have to go to the break. Obviously, it appears as if Erdogan in Turkey wants to set himself up to lead this Islamic caliphate that he wants to see established. He has the military to do it. He's aligning now with Iran and Russia. Is he the guy that we need to be watching in the Middle East and in that region of the world as being the main guy? Or is there possibly someone going to emerge from Iran or Saudi Arabia that's going to exert more influence than Erdogan?
Well, Erdogan is a key to understanding what's going on in the Middle East. He wants to revive the Ottoman Empire, which was in power throughout the entire Middle East for 400 years. Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, controlled all of the Middle East during those years. He wants to be, I'm talking about Erdogan, the pan-Islamic leader. He wants to be the leader of the Islamic world. Been moving in that direction, has a plan to do it, almost has absolute power in Turkey. He works daily on that. Let me suggest Vladimir Putin is going to be another major player in the Middle East because of the coalition that he'll form together in the last days.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing current news, but really up to date because it's prophetically, it's biblically examined, and ultimately we know what that last chapter is. So the kind of things we're talking about here today are much better than what you're getting regular news, because they reject the Bible, we believe it, and we know where we're headed. So stay tuned as we come back in our solutions segment to fill together some of these other pieces as we end up in a practical session today.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare? Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
On this program, we've been taking, ladies and gentlemen, the general theme, the nations of the world, the nations on edge, the world in transition. We talked about why the Israeli defense forces are on high alert right now, watching what's happening between North Korea and the United States, because Iran is watching. And if we bow and back off from North Korea, Iran is going to increase their threats and move right against Israel. There's a lot of reasons for that. We talked about, as ISIS is out, more or less, of the Middle East, into that void, Iran. So ISIS out, Iran in. We talked about Turkey, once going to the West with NATO, now going to the East in alliance with Russia and Iran. So Turkey's in, and effectively the West and NATO is out. But there's one more entity that's on his way out, and one entity that's on their way in the Middle East. And we're going to talk about that just very briefly before we go into some practical application again of how we deal with these issues as we see them coming together in just an amazing, amazing speed and prophetical accuracy. Jimmy, President Trump said that, you know, we know that he went to the Middle East. He has said that he wants to make Jerusalem the capital, declare it that way officially. He's talked about a peace treaty with the Palestinians. We've talked about how that is impossible under normal circumstances, that a peace treaty would be there because the Palestinians wouldn't accept it. And all of that. But there is a shift happening there that a lot of people need to know about, and that is that the Palestinian Authority, led by Abbas, is not necessarily getting the same kind of support he used to get from the Islamic world. And this may just open up a pathway. Talk to us about that, if you could, please.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. The Islamic world is cutting their funding to the Palestinian Authority, and basically because of Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas is in his 80s. He's not really able to make things happen as it relates to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He's not been able to unite the Palestinians. Remember, there's two factions in Israel of the Palestinians. In the Gaza Strip, you have Hamas, the terrorist organization. And then in the area of Ramallah, and north of Jerusalem, you have the Fatah organization, which Mahmoud Abbas leads. But the Arab leaders see Mahmoud Abbas as irrelevant to what is going on. He was supposed to go for re-election 10 years ago. He has not done that. He's been able to hold that from happening. And so there's total unrest among the Palestinian people, the factions, but even the people in the street, they don't not know what to do. And with all of this happening, Mahmoud Abbas is being dropped by the Arab world and also by the United States. Israel, on the other hand, because of Iran and their development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, is moving towards the Arab world, and especially Saudi Arabia, a key connection there. between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Some backdoor meetings have been taking place between the two. Saudi Arabia has a peace plan. I don't think Israel is going to buy into it, but it's much better than what Mahmoud Abbas is coming up with. I don't think the peace talks are going to go anywhere, Sam. I don't see Prime Minister Netanyahu making more of an effort than he is today. I think, of course, politically we're talking about now this peace agreement or a peace type of operation for coexistence between the Israelis and the Palestinians is way down the road. But remember, it can happen immediately because of the prophetic scenario, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he does establish peace, a pseudo-peace, but it is going to be a peace that the Israelis, the Jewish people, call for, and that starts the clock ticking on this alignment of nations we've been discussing coming in to try to wipe out Israel.
Dr. Jimmy, it is beyond exciting every time we have you on. But I tell you what, the nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38, that alignment you just referred to, it is shaping up without doubt. And as we watch these things, as we see and hear of the wars and rumors of wars predicted in Matthew 24, we really have one of three options to respond to this. We can become fearful, and some do that. They really shouldn't. We can ignore them and say, well, none of that is of significance, or we can respond in this way, and that is look up as believers because we know our redemption is about to draw nigh. What I would love for you to do, Dr. Jimmy, in the moments we have left is kind of frame for our listening audience what we who know Christ need to be doing as we watch all of this unfold. It ought to motivate us to do something. What is that?
Well, I think, first of all, we need, Dave, to be able to not ignore what is going on. It's evident. It's right out there. I mean, we've talked about it for over an hour. We see it happening in the world. All the news media is talking about how this coalition of nations, though they don't use that terminology, is coming into and moving in position to take out the Jewish state of Israel, i.e. what's happening in Syria and with all the other players we've talked about. It's actually in our face, so we have to recognize that. That means, I believe, we must consider biblical prophecy. We need to spend some time. Even the pastors in churches need to wake up. Those that are doing away with teaching prophecy had better have a revival within their heart and get right to teach the third of the entire Bible. The third of the entire Bible is the Word of God talking prophetically about what's going to happen in the end times. I do not think we should fear. We have a hope within us that should give us the joy and excitement. You talked about it. Looking up, our redemption is drawing nigh. The rapture of the church. I don't see how the Lord is going to hold off the rapture of the church. I know why he's doing it. And that is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, I'm not slack concerning my promise. I'm going to come as I've indicated I will. I've laid out a scenario throughout the entire Word of God to help you recognize that time. The only reason I haven't come is I'm not willing that any should perish and all should come to know me as Lord and Savior. So there you have it. We need to be prepared for what's going to happen. We study the prophetic Word of God. We see how God's prophetic Word is unfolding. We see how he has used human government down through the ages. He's still doing that, and more so today, Revelation 17, 17, he puts in the hearts of world leaders to accomplish his will, so we can see that unfolding. So we study that. Then we recognize we don't have to fear. We keep looking up. But until he does shout to call us up to be with him, we'd never be in a battle of trying to win people to Jesus Christ. In fact, that is his heart. And in 2 Peter 3, we talked about verse 9, he's not slack concerning his promise. In verse 12, he says, if you win people to Jesus Christ, it'll draw my coming closer to the time. So if we're winning people to Christ, he's on his way more quickly than we could ever think about.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the best solution you can possibly have as we give it in our solution segment. We know how the book ends. We know what the end results are going to be. We know that Christ is coming back. The question is, are we who know the Lord, are we talking about it? Are we standing in the gap for truth where we are? We emphasize it on this program all the time. Are we sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us? That is what we must do. That's the answer. That causes us to look up. Isaac, I want to go to you right now. I'd like you to take us to the Lord in prayer and pray for those who are listening and ourselves that we would be optimistic and looking up and doing what we need to do until the Lord comes.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are not slack concerning your promises, that you will never allow your word to return void. I pray that you would give us the courage and the biblical backbone to take a stand, to stand in the gap so that we might tell others of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and the hope that we have in his return. And I just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our resolve, that you would give us grace and peace in these last days, and that you would give us the wisdom of what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I pray this for our country, for our listeners, and especially for the pastors in our pulpits in America. It's in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Isaac. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Remember that. Stand in the gap for truth until we join again tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.